Hi, I'm RJ.
And I'm Ben. Today, we're going to be critiquing a few websites.
In particular, we're going to be critiquing sort of the design of the websites. How sort of pretty they look in to some extent, but also how well they're laid out and how usable they are. Let's just dive right in and look at lingscars.com. Here, we see a site that's very dense. Everything's packed pretty tightly, which often makes it hard to see things. So it's hard to figure out, oh, how do I actually contact the owner of this website? Or how do I rent a car, which is sort of the point of the website. It's very sort of splattered about. There's a lot of flashing elements that are very distracting. So I'd say, personally, that I find this site to be not terribly well designed. I mean, it may have been their intention to make it like this, but it seems sort of poorly designed, as opposed to something like Enterprise, where I go to enterprise.com, and that's how I rent a car. It just asks me where I want to go, and then it asks me when I want to go there, and I sort of move on my way.
Yeah, so not only are all the animations potentially distracting, but they sort of do hide the intention of the website, which is to let you rent a car, whereas Enterprise, we see it's very usable. You pop up, and what can you do? You can rent a car. You can enter the pickup location, the information you need, and you're on your way.
So I will say, though, if I'm ever in the United Kingdom and I need to rent a car, I now remember this website. So it is somewhat memorable.
It is certainly memorable, especially if you scroll down and see Darth Vader with a orbiting solar system.
Well, so it's Ling Vader, actually.
Oh, I apologize. Ling Vader. It's certainly memorable.
But there are a lot of animations. There's a lot of sort of these side pop-ups and things that just make it very distracting for the user.
And if you listen, you'll hear some audio. And anytime you're using audio on a website, you need to just be very careful that it has a clear intention. Because otherwise, people aren't going to like it when they open up your website and something starts blaring and maybe they're at work or in class or just don't even quite want to be distracted by the audio.
Yeah, whenever I even consider putting audio on a website, I have a clear play button or a pause button, and no, you should never let audio start without the user explicitly saying play. And even sort of animations and pop-ups and things should be sort of user-triggered. You don't want them in the way of the website. Because there's just a lot going on here. There's a Twitter feed. There's animations that link to a webcam. There's sort of animations of people singing and dancing. It's just very sort of distracting.
Yes, and I think there is some good information in there, but things like the pulsing car in the middle of the page, they don't really add much. And anytime you use something like an animation, you want to make sure that it's tasteful and really contribute something to your website.
So let's take a look at the Massachusetts Juror Service website, which you may have visited if you ever sort of had to sign up for jury duty in Massachusetts. We can see that it's slightly better laid out than Ling's Cars. It's less compact. There's sort of a clear text in the middle, some buttons to click, although it's a little confusing. There's some buttons in the corner here that that are used to find a courthouse or to go to a questionnaire, and you sort of expect those in like a navigation bar, and they're just kind of awkwardly sitting here under this pillar. There's also a bunch of small text that is really hard to read that could be bigger, but on the whole, much sort of cleaner layout. But let's take a look at this Find Courthouse. First, when I click this button, it opens this in a new tab, which is a little annoying. I'd probably want to stay on the same page. But then when I'm here, it's not particularly clear how I find a courthouse. So there's a drop-down menu.
Sure, can you zoom in on that?
Yeah, so if I go in here on the drop-down menu and I go down, I can pick a courthouse. We can go to the Eastern Hampshire District Court.
I've heard good things about that.
And then it looks like, oh, I picked it from the drop-down, then I have to hit the View button again. Like, I can't just select it. There's an extra click I have to make. Brings me to a new page that has information. And if I want to go back, I can either hit the back button or hit New Search. There's a lot of pushing me around in different pages, which is particularly annoying. There's also this map, which I at first didn't understand at all, but like when I click a district, like the Middlesex District, or Middlesex County, I should say. It's both.
Did anything change?
So the URL changed and the page refreshed, and what actually changed is now in this dropdown are only the courts in sort of this district.
Interesting.
Which is fine. It just seems like it refreshed the entire page. If I want to look at all of them again, I have to click reset. So there's a lot of extra clicks and things that you don't see on many sort of modern websites.
And I think not only the extra clicks, but I'm not sure that if I clicked on part of the image that I would then go back to the drop-down menu to see if something changed there. I would sort of expect something to actually visibly change on the page right away, which doesn't happen here.
So it actually is in the instructions telling you what to do, to click on a district and then go to the drop-down. But I was drawn to just click the map and click the drop-down. I didn't read the instructions right away. And on most sites these days, they don't need instructions. They kind of just work the way you expect them to work. And older sites that just haven't been updated in a while, you know, don't quite work the way you'd expect. So if we look at, for example, Kayak, you know, tell us a bit about this.
So Kayak, I think that's a step up from the Massachusetts Drury website because, well, first off, it's very clean. There are a few text boxes, and we sort of immediately know what we're trying to do, and we have an easy way of doing it. And I think once we sort of start filling out the forms, we'll really see Kayak's advantages.
Yeah, so Kayak, for those of you that haven't used it before, is a site for booking flights or hotels and things. Here in particular, we're booking a flight. And if I sort of say, let's, you know, it knows I'm in Boston, so it autofills with Boston. I can change it, but it assumes for the most part that if I'm going somewhere from where I am right now, you know, that's from Boston. So if I type in sort of New York City, it gives me a nice drop-down showing me all the options without me having to click to a different list or anything. If I start typing something else, like New York, it can search on that. You know, I can search for all airports in New York or any particular airport in New York. So just it's very sort of direct, and when I start typing, it sort of gives me options without me having to look for them. And then once I click, you know, in this case, JFK Airport, on the right automatically, without me clicking submit, it sort of filled in all the prices for flights sort of in the coming month. And it's also highlighted for me the lowest fare. So without me having to click submit or type things or say I want one for this week or that week, it's just shown me all of my options.
And it does so with fewer clicks and even with less typing, as it can sort of auto predict what it is that you might want to do.
And so we call sites like this sort of dynamic in that without me having to click submit and load and specifically request information, it's just dynamically updating the content of the page. So if I type in a date, like I want to leave today, let's say, and I want to come back next week.
You might need to enter in times.
Well, so here, so it's shown me automatically everything for the coming month, but if I want specific information, then I can click find flights, and now it'll show me some flights. But even now, on this page, I can say, well, I want to take off after 7:30 p.m. And automatically, without me clicking submit, this list on the right has changed to reflect flights that leave after 7:30 p.m. And if I want to leave New York, say, you know, before noon, we've updated and we see only the two or three flights that fit my criteria without me having to hit submit and then hit back and then hit submit again and then hit back like we saw on the Drury website. So this sort of dynamic updating is sort of a high point in design. It makes the site more usable.
So we see sort of how user-friendly this site is. It's very usable. But we didn't talk much about its aesthetics, and those were good. But I think if we move on to another example, in this case, Tommy's own website, we'll see a good example of some things we can critique in terms of a website's design aesthetically.
Yeah, so here we have Tommy's page, which isn't designed to get us, you know, rent a car or book a flight. So there's very little to worry about in terms of dynamic loading of content or usability in that respect. But we can just sort of focus on layout.
And I think he does do a good job for the simple usability that the site requires of making it easy to view his projects and his teachings with just a nice navigation bar clearly marked across the top of the page.
The links change color to make it clear that they're actually links. If I click one, like teaching, we can see the three classes that Tommy's taught in the past. I assume the site will be updated soon to reflect that Tommy's teaching a class right now. These are all clearly drop-downs, so we can see sort of information for the weeks of sort of CS50, a class he taught, or CS164, as well as looking at things Tommy has written or projects he's worked on.
Yes, but I think, as RJ was saying, even more important than these usability things, which obviously are still a concern, although maybe not as much as for a business like Kayak, we can really evaluate this site based on its aesthetics. And I would think that they're quite good.
Yeah, he picked some great colors. Everything's spaced well. Spacing is a big concern of mine. If you have stuff that's too close together, or the font is too big, or the boxes are too small, it just makes it very hard to read. But everything here is pretty cleanly laid out. If we were to look at the source code of the HTML, we'd see that these are probably divs within divs, and there's some CSS that changes their color and so on.
Now, since we're about to have to create our own website, could we look at the source code for this website or maybe use the inspect element tool to sort of show what's underlying this web page?
In Google Chrome, if you right click and do inspect element, you can actually look at the full HTML. So it's kind of hidden behind by little drop downs.
Sure.
We can see here that we have, this is all the head. We care more about the body. We have a div, and if we drill down a little bit, Chrome will actually highlight the element we are looking at. So here we've got an unordered list, and each list element, you know, web development, coursework, et cetera. But if we click on one and then go over to the right in Chrome, it will show us the CSS rules that it's matching and the file they're coming from. So here Tommy in main.css happened to apply a margin to these elements. So if we drill down a bit, you can see that we found sort of a link, this web development link, and it's got some sort of things associated with it. It's got class equals green in the HTML. But if we look over at the CSS, which Chrome will show us on the right, anything with the class green has a background of, in this case, this green, which is broken down into 009D19, which is just a color Tommy picked. Where he could have picked sort of any color, but he picked this green one.
So essentially, inspect element allows us to view the HTML and how it's displaying on the web page and the CSS properties that are being applied. So to make that a little more concrete, maybe could we change that background color?
Sure. So if I just type in here, instead of what's being broken down as RGB 0, 157, 225, if I jack up the red portion, the first part, to 255,
wow.
You can see that we've changed everything that has the class green to have this orange color.
It's actually a relatively attractive orange color.
Well, I made it sort of arbitrarily, but yeah, it looks pretty nice. And so every element that was on this page that had class green is now this orange color because in the CSS we've said that anything with dot green is orange.
But it's important to note that the changes that RJ just made to the web browser display only on his browser. And as soon as he refreshes the page, they'll disappear. So if you went to TommyMacWilliam.com, you would not see the orange changes. RJ just refreshed the page, and we see that they're gone. And so it's important to note that this tool is really just a way for, if you see a cool design, to go and look at how these people might have implemented it. Or if you're designing your own website and something isn't displaying the way you want it to or you expect it to, you can sort of dive in and just directly see what's being applied to certain HTML elements and then figure out why things are displaying the way they are.
So as one final point, I'd like to sort of show us csszengarden.com, which is a site that Ben knows a lot about.
Yeah, so CSS Zen Garden is a site that gives you sort of a basic set of HTML and CSS. And then these people have gone and done sort of as much as they can given that HTML. So with the same set of static HTML, we can open up a few designs and just see how people's creativity have created some beautiful websites. So on the right side of the page, we see a few links. RJ's opened them up. And we can see that although you might not believe it once we look at a few, it really is the same HTML and just with some different CSS to make some truly unique websites.
You can see they all say CSS Zen Garden. They all say the road to enlightenment and this paragraph of text. They all have this select a design link. So they're actually the same site that we were visiting at the beginning. But if we look at the actual HTML, let me just view the page source. If we view the page source, it's all the same.
Interesting.
So in this particular example, they've taken whatever the element is for this navigation component, this sort of list, and they've decided to put it on the left, which they've done entirely in CSS, where on the other sites happen to be on the right. They've changed the background color. They've changed maybe a background image or something in order to have this ribbon effect. But really, everything here is done through CSS.
Yeah, so the fundamental layout is the same, and it's the styles that are different. And going to a site like this and sort of using a tool like Inspect Element to click around and see how people have done various styles can be very useful when it comes time to design your own website.
So we hope that in watching this section, you've been able to gain an appreciation for principles of good web design. In particular, we talked about the aesthetic of a web page, how it's laid out and how it looks, as well as its usability.
And when it comes time to design your own website, we hope you'll take inspiration from sites like CSSZenGarden.com and have a nice warning sign from things like Ling's Cars. I'm Ben.
And I'm RJ, and this was Critiquing Web Design.